Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, the third issue of the WrestleTalk magazine is now available. Head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information. We've got a great issue this month featuring our reviews of the Royal Rumble, Wrestle Kingdom 10 and Raw 25, including the WrestleTalk crew counting down their top 25 moments of Raw history. So head over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com for more information.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast in Phase 2 of WrestleTalk. That's right, if you haven't seen it already, go over to the YouTube channel, watch our 500k day party, which was our celebration of passing 500,000 subscribers the other week, and see what went down. I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaft Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, inside Phase 2 of Wrestle Ramble. A very exciting time here for Wrestle Talk.
Yes.
Lots of new faces, lots of exciting potential partnerships and feuds we may have.
Yeah. I mean, like, the larger vision for the channel way back when was to have it as loads of different voices on the channel, but all giving, you know, Wrestle Talk, like loads of different opinions and various funny skits and bits. But then it was
skits and bits.
But it was only me, because you know that we came off TV, and then I was the only one who could dedicate a lot of time to it. But now we've built it up to where we can do this. Of course, we mention it in the show itself, but this won't affect the podcast at all. Actually, it's not going to affect anything me and Luke do at the moment. We're going to be hosting the same shows, the same amount of times, the same frequency.
But on the YouTube channel, you're just getting more free content.
Yes, so that's lovely. And I guess the only thing it will affect is our WrestleMania and NXT predictions.
Yeah.
Where we're going up against Brian Zane.
Brian Zane of Wrestling with Regret.
Yes.
I love Brian Zane.
We are huge fans of that guy. We're super happy to have him with us. If you haven't already checked his channel out, go, because and you will. He is one of the easiest channels to get lost in.
Oh, I have done so before. You know the sidebar?
Yeah.
Like, you watch one video and then you're like, oh, that's also an interesting topic. I'll definitely watch that one.
Just autoplays. And he's so good at just talking about stuff and playing the clips. And
it's great.
Yeah,
He's the sort of guy that I try to model my opinion pieces and my Backstage Expose videos around. But I can't do them quite as well as Brian does them. But I think his videos are great.
He's great.
Yes.
So we've got some questions here,
correspondence. So this is in connection to yesterday we were asking people about what, if you are just a dedicated podcast listener and you don't listen or you don't watch the YouTube stuff, what would you call yourselves? For example, in the Ellis and Ellis James and John Robbins world of podcast.
What's that?
So they are they're two DJs on
DJs.
Radio X,
right?
And they have a podcast, but they or they do a live show. There are people who only listen to the podcast version, and they're called podcast devotees.
Mm.
It's good naming, good branding.
Sure.
So we've had this email in from Emily. I'm going to say Gillalai. She did spell it out phonetically, but it still could be Gillalai.
Yeah.
There are multiple ways to say a G.
So it's either Gillalai or Gillalai. I'm going to guess it's Gillalai. Emily Gillalai. First off, love y'all so much. Consistently fun and informative. Started off watching on YouTube and moved to the podcast to get that extra rambling I love so very much. Life's been busy, so I've been podcast only for a few months as I can listen to you in the car on the way to work. I'd like to think of myself as a podswaft. What do you think of the term?
A podswaft. Podswaft. Swaft pod. I like that Swaft is has come out of that scandal unscathed.
And it's quite nice, really.
We let it off for a few weeks, but now
let it all die down.
Yeah, I mean, our new general manager Grado asked how he needs to pronounce that, and I've got a hilarious recording of him on my phone of just saying Swaft, 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 Swaft. And I was like, Grado's saying Swaft.
And you said to me, like, how do I explain to him what it is? And I was like, it's daft.
Like, I say daft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think that he would have gone daft because it's dafty.
Right. Yeah. I wonder, because now we've got so many Scottish people here. My accents aren't going to get any better.
No.
I just haven't got an ear for it.
No, you said that when you were speaking to certain Scottish people that you had to just, like, watch a load of promos from Scottish people, read Train Spotting out loud.
I was worried that I wouldn't be able to understand them. Joe Hendry's very easy to understand.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Kenny's just incomprehensible. Labbering on. Just shouting.
Love Kenny. Jason Downey has suggested Ramblecasties.
That's okay.
Mike Adams suggested Swaftcasters.
I like Swaftcasters the most.
Ishan Pundit suggests Swadpoft Stars. So it's not Swaftpodsters. Swaftpod Stars. And speaking of difficult to say, Biolzi.
Sure.
Biolzi. Pod Swafters. I like Ramblecasties.
I actually like Pod Swafters the most. Which is pretty much Emily Gillalai's Podswaft. Just with all it needed was ers at the end.
It's a Podswaft.
I like Podswafters.
Yeah, so Podswafters, you have now got your new name. And lastly, we've got an email here from Ben Martin. And this is in relation to people using wrestling gimmicks outside of the work thing. Ben writes, as you may guess from my email address, please don't read it out, I work for a church on the senior leadership team.
Is it like benmartin@church.com?
At thechurch.com, yes.
At the church.
Alongside my primary responsibilities, starting a pub church, yes, really, I occasionally preach at normal Sunday services.
Well, we can't just skip past pub church.
Well, he doesn't go into any detail about what pub church might be, and I'm very interested in what pub church might be.
Pub church? Well, seeing that he says pub, surely he is an Englishman or a Britishman. Maybe he can have us along to the pub church.
Maybe. The Church of Swaft?
Yes.
One week, I was asked to preach about a Bible passage talking about how we need to discipline our lives in order to achieve various spiritual, physical, and emotional goals. I was trying to come up with a good illustration when suddenly it hit me. Wrestling. So to cut a long story short, I ended up playing some clips of the most impressive spots through wrestling history, then spoke about the training and the day-to-day discipline that wrestlers have to go through in order to reach that peak level. Despite some uncomfortable shifting from many of the older members of the 200-strong congregation, to apologise, none of whom appeared to be wrestling fans, it seemed to be going okay until my colleague heckled me with a "And he's got wrestling toys."
Oh, no.
That heckle resulted in my office mate building me my own mini ring, which is currently populated by Finn Balor wrestling a knitted angel.
Oh, wow.
Why? Because after the service, I told her I never had one as a kid. How nice is that?
What, a knitted angel?
Not everyone is lucky enough to have one. Love the show. It was Wrestle Talk that got me back into wrestling, so you have my eternal gratitude. Ben from Derby. And he's attached the photo of
Look
the wrestling ring.
I mean, you know, I want to be in the nicest way possible. That is a homemade ring.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yes.
They made it through office supplies because those are pencils for ring ropes.
Those ring posts. that because the ropes are very lax. Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable running those ropes.
Not like WWE ropes that just feel like you're running into metal.
No, these are that's great.
These are almost like ECW ropes, where they were the bounciest ropes in the entire world. But that is very cool, and it is Finn Balor wrestling a knitted snow angel.
I mean,
or a knitted angel, rather.
He lost, presumably.
Yes.
Like he does most feuds.
So thank you very much, Ben, for that email. It was really lovely to get from you.
That was good. Should we get on with the show? What should Jeff Hardy do at WrestleMania 34? That's the conversational topic here. But it's also a little bit, should Jeff Hardy do anything at WrestleMania 34? You know, because of course we want to protect the human being that is Jeff. We don't want him to go out there if he has certain personal issues that he's relapsed in, which we know nothing about. So
yes,
there is, of course, that side of things. But we're gonna focus on the more fun side. Fantasy booking, what should Jeff Hardy do if this DWI never happened, really?
Yeah, if it gets like a Jey Uso and it's just like, let's just sweep this under the rug, it's, you know, it's okay.
Yeah.
Not that I, you know, I very much don't condone these sorts of things. We've discussed this on the podcast before. I'd say that if you do drink drive and kind of get arrested under the influence,
yeah,
you sort of lose a bit of sympathy points from me. But yeah, do we want to just give a brief overview of the story and the latest on it? No?
Yeah, okay. Do you want to do... I'll do it because I was knee-deep in this all week.
I was going to say, this is your story, man.
Knee-deep. So last Thursday, not the Thursday just gone, but the Thursday before that, WWE filmed the Ultimate Deletion match. This was via reports from PW Insider or whatnot. Rabbi Sky is probably furiously tweeting me as I said that. She heard it from somewhere. Someone just said something about my beloved Hardys.
Yeah, already got her Twitter phone out.
Yes. And they recorded this, and it turns out, a lot of sites have reported this, Jeff Hardy filmed a cameo. So this would have been Jeff Hardy's return to WWE television since October, because he's been out...
Since Raw 25.
Was he in Raw
25? Yeah, remember he was backstage in the APA playing cards with them,
oh,
with MVP.
Oh my God.
You remember?
You can't bring that up.
No.
You argue that is not canon. Anything that happened at Raw 25 did not happen.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So, Jeff Hardy, since October, and he was getting a bit of a push back then. Like, he was going into the Intercontinental title feud with Miz. Even though Matt going woken happened about a month after Jeff was sidelined with injury, I felt to me like they were always going to split. Jeff was going to go on a singles run and find Matt, have your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff was... He went out with a torn labrum, I believe. Labrum.
Labrum is labrum, how I would have thought it pronounced.
And a rotator cuff in his shoulder. So he underwent shoulder surgery. And now he's medically cleared. As of this week, he posted this on Instagram. He's finished his physical therapy stuff. Pro Wrestling Sheet says he's been cleared to return to the ring medically, just waiting on WWE's plans. WWE already had plans with the cameo. PW Insider said he was scheduled in to go back to the Performance Center this month, meaning March, meaning before WrestleMania, so he could return this month, which is before WrestleMania, implying there might have been a tag team bout, or at least, you know, something for him at Mania to do in the ring. But all of this has kind of been turned topsy-turvy by that DWI arrest last Saturday.
If it does play into it, I suppose, because one has to wonder whether the end of Ultimate Deletion will see the return of Jeff Hardy screwing Matt out of the match.
Ooh.
And then maybe forming an alliance with Bray Wyatt, or perhaps building up towards a Matt-Jeff feud at WrestleMania, because, as we all know, those always get over huge when they do the Hardy versus Hardy feuds. It always results in the best matches at WrestleMania.
But I think in this instance it might work, now these are so far removed from the Hardy characters.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, you can say that they're so far removed, but when Matt Hardy wrestles, it's still Matt Hardy. Like, it's not like he's different now that he's woken / broken.
He does the turnbuckles.
He still wrestles like Matt Hardy, though.
Yes. No, sometimes he eats people.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, well, what a drastic change. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
You are turned sarky. What is this? Where's this coming from?
It's late in the day, man.
So... I think that's... Because Jeff's... If they keep him in Ultimate Deletion, because, you know, it could be edited out come Monday. If they keep him in, I did read it was a cameo, so I don't think it was anything significant. I feel like if this was Jeff's big return, he would have more than a cameo. Mm-hmm. Unless it is just at the end, like you said, a shot where he pushes Matt or he fires a freaking firework thing. I don't know if WWE would let that kind of thing happen on their TV.
That sort of, yeah.
Seems very don't try this at home, kids.
I was going to say, man, I'm so intrigued by Monday. So intrigued for the Ultimate Deletion to see what they pull out. Because this is a match that has been, you know, over a year in the making. But longer than that, really, on WWE, because they made their return at WrestleMania and everyone was just assuming we're going to jump straight into this woken era. But then it's taken till December to get there, and now we're in March because we're finally getting the Cardi compound stuff. So it's been a long time in the making, so it's gonna be very interesting to see the official WWE version of a deletion style match.
Well, we did get something akin to it when the New Day took on the Wyatt family.
Yeah, but that was very much just like, that was popular over there. Mm. Let's just copy it and do it over here.
I was a big fan of that. I really liked that match.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was different.
It was different.
In fact, it's a year and a half in the making. Samuel Benjamin retweeted something he posted from 2016.
Oh, really?
Where he called out Bray Wyatt.
Really?
Yeah. I'm excited about WWE. I'm looking forward to their television because for the first time in a while, it feels varied. You've got the main event feud, you've got the fun of Braun, you've got the good wrestling in the Intercontinental title picture, and now on top of that, you've got the drama
of Anaya and Alexa.
Yes, the soap opera stuff of that. You've got Ronda Rousey star power. I mean, I'm just talking about Raw. But of course, you've got that US title feud with Jinder Mahal. Who can forget that? But then you've also got varying the style, making it feel different. You've got this little pocket of the Woken universe, and I really hope it does catch on, just so it can be something different in the 3 hours of television we get each week.
That'll be the most interesting thing, is seeing the ratings, seeing that quarter hour rating, see if it increases or decreases or just remains the same. That'll be really fascinating to see.
So you think Jeff is gonna turn on Matt? Because you could equally have Jeff help Matt.
Yes.
You build the Hardys.
Yeah, that's the alternative, is that Jeff returns to help Matt beat Bray, and then you have the Hardy boys reunited, or, you know, as the brother Nero character. And I mean, you can't then put them into the tag title program, unfortunately, because that's now taken up with Braun. Which is interesting as well, because I think in the Wrestling Observer newsletter,
let's move into this story. Yeah,
because Meltzer was reporting, and he'd been reporting for a while, that one of the plans was Miz versus Braun for the IC title. But then on Monday, Braun was just put into this tag team situation where he's beaten the entire tag team division in a battle royal, and he's now the number one contender to the tag team championship. So Meltzer's saying that Vince McMahon hasn't decided whether it's going to be a handicap match or Braun is getting a partner, which suggests to me this was very much a last minute decision. So I'm speculating here, pull into the speculation station. Maybe the plan was they were going to do the Hardys versus the Bar at WrestleMania with Jeff Hardy making his return here, but this DWY has now changed that, hence why we did this sort of bit of a left turn with Braun, where we're in a situation where we're not even sure if Braun is fighting on his own or fighting alongside someone else.
I like that theory. The timeline sadly doesn't check out.
Does it not?
Yeah, so Jeff's arrest came on that Saturday,
okay.
And then the Braun thing happened on the Monday. So that bit works out. And then Meltzer reported all that stuff on the Thursday. But actually, he said on Arrest and Observer Radio 2 weeks ago, because I remember it, because it was like, what's going on here? Because he kind of giggled like a girl, Dave Meltzer. When he's got something he can't say.
I love when Dave gets like this. It's so much fun. And yeah, no, I was going to say something else, but it's all right.
So I think Brian Alvarez is whining about why the Bar don't have anything. And like Meltzer goes, you should see. I think they've got something else in mind. And then Brian goes, what? You know something. I know that voice. Like an old married couple. Dave Meltzer's like, no, I did. You know, be interesting. It's interesting. And then he reported that it wasn't going to be a match. This the plan after the Miz, the Intercontinental title three-way started to take shape, Braun transitioned, he was always going to have an angle. The plan was, at least apparently, reportedly, was to have an angle with the bar where he confronts them, but no match. So that was their fallback option, to have your tag team champions and arguably the hottest star in your company have an angle at WrestleMania.
It's the showcase of the immortals. Mm.
So, I don't think the Hardys were ever factored into this, which makes me think that it's either a Hardys singles match or they're not going to do anything until after Mania, which, you know, is a shame, but I almost, you know, they'll do Battle Royal stuff, which is a shame, but I almost prefer it because, like we said, it's a 14-match card right now.
Or it's going to be the Hardys versus Bray and a partner. Maybe they're going to use the Ultimate Deletion to debut a new disciple for Bray Wyatt. Or Jeff Hardy makes his return, and then in the next couple of weeks of TV, Bray debuts a new character, a new tag team partner, and, you know, you have a fun little pre-show match. It'd have to go on the pre-show, I'd have thought.
Or maybe they could just have the factions in the Battle Royal. I'm just trying to put as much stuff in these Battle Royals at the moment.
You sound just like Vince.
Put him on the Battle Royal. So the other thing that's kind of topsy-turvy about WrestleMania 34, and, you know, if something huge has broken, because we are recording this before this has come out, all of this stuff could be very secondary news.
There might, yeah, because, I mean, this is going live on a Saturday. There may have been stuff that's already been announced before this has gone live, or could happen. Is this going live on Saturday? Yes, it is. Yeah. Or it's going to go live, whatever. Stuff might happen in the interim of us recording this. So we'll just preface that for now. Here's the situation we are in as we record.
So John Bravo, who's this, he's a filmmaker. He's like a bodybuilder filmmaker kind of guy.
Yeah, every time I hear it, it makes me laugh. His name is Johnny Bravo.
Yes. Yeah. That John Bravo, not Johnny Bravo.
No, his name is Johnny
blonde,
Bravo.
Blonde, quiffy old man from the 90s.
Do you remember a tie-in with the wrestling? The Rock was going to play him in a movie once.
Yes. I've seen the mocked-up poster of The Rock with the big quiff and the shades.
Yep.
It's like perfect casting.
Yeah, it is.
Of course.
Oh, Johnny Bravo. What a cartoon that was, man.
It's where Seth MacFarlane got his start.
Yes, indeed.
As a cartoonist. So the idea... You've thrown me now.
Sorry,
Johnny Bravo
is a filmmaker, and he was the guy who said that he was involved in a...
He's making a documentary and some investigative journalism stuff about Richard Rodriguez, who is a steroid dealer, my apologies, has been jailed, and Richard Rodriguez is saying, naming a number of people via John Bravo who he sold steroids to and performance enhancing drugs and stuff, and he's named Mark Wahlberg, Josh Duhamel, Roman Reigns most famously for our situation here, but all those people have denied it, and for weeks and weeks and weeks John Bravo's been saying the film's coming, more evidence is coming, and last Friday he put up a Snapchat image of Luther Reigns, you know, another former WWE star has been embroiled in this, more evidence coming soon, and everyone's like, he got it confused, it's not Roman Reigns, it's Luther Reigns. And I was like, who's Luther Reigns?
It's a name I recognize, but I was not watching wrestling when Luther Reigns was an active performer, but it was a name that I recognized because I text you saying, like, have you seen the latest? If this is the case, it's the most hilarious case of mistaken identity, at least within the wrestling world. I had a proper old chuckle at it, but it appears that might not be the case either.
Yeah, so it seems like, the heat's off, Roman Reigns isn't really, it's all been a big mistake, how embarrassing. But the Wrestling Observer is reporting that those close to John Bravo says, no, it just Luther Reigns is also in this. Roman Reigns bought stuff using his own name, which is Joe Anoa'i. Why would you do that? Why would you buy steroids using your own name? It's all very weird and fishy, but John Bravo is releasing this fuller documentary on Friday, the 16th of March, after we've recorded this. So, we've probably just spoke about a bunch of stuff you already know, because it's either just fizzled out into nothing, or it's the hugest story on the planet and we're not addressing it right now. In which case, you can laugh at us.
Yeah.
Laugh at us as we sit here before you.
Have fun with that.
The Wrestle Ramble will be right back after these short messages. This podcast is brought to you in part by Patreon. For just $5 a month, you'll get access to the Wrestle Ramble Extra, a monthly podcast where Ollie and I review shows from wrestling's past. If you pledge now, you'll get our back catalogue of episodes, including Money in the Bank 2011, Armageddon 2000, Wrestle Kingdom 10, and No Way Out 2004, and many others, as well as this month's episode, which will be WrestleMania 25. And $10 plus backers will become part of the Ramble Club, our new show where we talk about wrestling from around the world, including reviews of the Golden Lovers versus Cody and Marty Scurll, Austin Aries versus Eli Drake, and many, many more. All that and so much extra, so head over to patreon.com/wrestletalk for more information.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Now that the 500k day party is out the way, it's time to get back to one of our favourite segments here on Wrestle Ramble, which we haven't done for a long time.
We have not. My inbox has been crammed full of these. We've plucked out some of the best ones that we have been sent thus far.
Good.
And these are two corkers of crap gimmicks right here. Our first one comes from Adam Thompson. I do apologise, I'm going to call you Andy then. Adam Thompson, who was submitted Mikey the Mailman. Mikey dresses like an average mailman, but with a heelish vibe. He has his sleeves ripped off, his shirt and work cap that he wears backwards. When coming to the ring, he's always carrying a mail bag which supposedly holds his mailin. But sometimes during the match, he'll go to it and pull out a weapon, like brass knuckles, or perhaps something allowed in a PG era. He sets up feuds by delivering mail to other wrestlers, which are read by the wrestlers, contain threatening and mysterious messages, which the recipients can never seem to understand, or see that it's clearly been written by Mikey. His finisher is the package pile driver, and his catchphrase is, "I always deliver." He also has an irrational fear of dogs. Potential hot dog vendor or Beastmaster feud right there. So that's Mikey the Mailman. I think the only thing I don't like is the way the delivering mails and mysterious things. I'm not sure I fully buy into that bit.
That's one of the strongest parts.
No. The strongest part of that is the mailbag that it could have a weapon inside it. That is something you could get over.
No. This is why it's real crap. This is why this is such a good crap gimmick, because it's got loads of crap bits about it, but the crappiest bit is the idea of you build up these feuds. This is so Sunday Heat, isn't it?
Sunday Night Heat,
where it's just entire feuds based on one guy. It's
Joe.
Yeah.
I'm Joe, just Joe.
He's stirring the pot by delivering these messages.
Don't shoot the mailman.
That's another catchphrase right there.
Don't shoot the messenger. But yeah, same thing.
So what? Oh, yeah, don't shoot the mailman.
I always deliver. He's already got two catchphrases, which are really timed perfectly organically with his character.
And it feels so 90s WWF. Mikey the Mailman. I can see him in my head with the ripped sleeves and the tie and everything. Totally binds
got
that.
Got Bill Buchanan in my head.
Absolutely.
Sense of days.
And it, like, there is a, I've gone a bit off piste here, but there's a real Ghostbusters action figure, one of the ghosts you could get that was a mailman. And that's what I've got in my head. Mm. That's the image that I see, is this real Ghostbusters toy that I had when I was a kid. And, I love it. I think this is great.
16 minutes. Oh. Where we got a 90s reference in.
Bloody love the 90s.
Oh, we already had Johnny Bravo. What are we talking about? Yeah. Much earlier. So, I mean, I am very confident there. I'm signing Mikey the Mailman.
As am I. You can also...
That's how I sign it. A giant novelty pen.
I also think that his only pinfall should be a small package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Package delivered. That's a Michael Cole can shout that on commentary.
Every time he comes out.
Yeah. Delivery! that's how he comes out.
It's mail time.
Yeah, when he walks into... into locker rooms, delivery. And that's how the little vignettes backstage start.
Yeah.
Oh, what does Mikey want now? Delivery, you know. Oh, don't shoot the messenger. That's good.
That's a good
that's
one.
That's really good.
So we've got another one here from Ryan Palmer, our last one for today. The CSA. The CSA is a customer service advisor. We all know those. We've all encountered them in our lives. He comes to the ring 5 minutes late in a shirt, tie, and dress pants. If the show is on Monday to Thursday... He comes to the ring in a shirt, tie, and dress pants if the show is Monday to Thursday, or in jeans and a t-shirt if the show is on Dress Down Friday or on the weekend. I like that little touch there. He has a headset on during his matches, so he never misses a call. Otherwise, he'll fail his target. He will stop mid-match to transfer a call to the correct department, then give his opponent some sarcastic scorn. He has worked as a CSA since graduating with a degree 10 years ago and has been a lower mid-card for years too, never being able to break that glass ceiling. This makes him cynical and jaded, which is why he turns up late and can't be asked to do his job. His finishing move is the cutoff. He signals the finish with a warning: if you use that language again, I will cut you off. The cutoff being a triple brainbuster. So that's the CSA.
What the hell is that move?
Well, it's just drop them down, pick them back up.
Three brainbusters.
Three brainbusters, mate. So that is the CSA. I like, there's a lot of little things in there that I really like.
Do you want to hear my theory why this is so detailed?
Because he is a customer service.
Ryan Palmer's a CSA.
That he also got a degree 10 years ago and has done nothing with it.
He's been stuck in this job. I think if we were to go around Ryan Palmer's house right now, say, hey, do you want to play some 2K18 or something? We do, we start it up. And oh, look, there's some custom characters here. Oh, the CSA. He's really jacked. And he looks, he's wearing what you're wearing right now, but he's got better hair. He's... Which is what I do as well, don't worry. Or he has just got off the phone with a particularly annoying CSA, customer service advisor, because he was shouting abuse at them and they had to cut them off.
Yeah, or it feels that a lot of this feels like it's pulled from real life. Mm. And that's always the best kind of wrestlers. It's your real life personality turned up to 11. Did you have this sort of job when you got out of university?
Oh, I had the worst job in my life, which I think I might have told you about it before. When I was... you really shouldn't take jobs where they recruit school kids off the streets. That's literally what happened. Like, I was in Victorian London. So I'm 16. I'm walking around Dartford Town Centre, getting my McDonald's for lunch.
Obviously.
And me and my friends were just approached by this lady with a clipboard and said, do you guys want a job? And we were like, yeah. Because, you know, I didn't have a job at that point. And
it's your first job at 16? God, you were let off light.
No, I had not at that point, but I was a Christmas temp in the Bear Factory when I was 15. Because you can do temping before you're 16. I was a fudge packer in a chocolate shop.
I forgot that. I forgot that one.
Fudge packer in a chocolate shop.
That's right.
And paper round before that. Yeah. So actually, I've been working since I was 12.
That's what I was getting
Thank
to.
You.
Towards, yes.
But this one, yeah, and she took us up to this room. And we, you know, filled out a really easy questionnaire. She's like, you know what, you guys are perfect. And it's only late, I thought, this is great, this is a great opportunity. And it's only afterwards that you think, it's because they've got such a freaking high turnover of staff. It was a call centre. above of telesales, not telesales. You know, we just cold call people to sell them stuff. Didn't really know what it was, but they were like, you get all these bonuses if you sell this much. We have fun all the time. And it was above a bedding shop in Swanley. I went there and I just had to go through the numbers and try and sell people conservatories.
Nice.
Which is a pretty big thing to sell someone.
People are not buying conservatories on a whim.
No, but you have to convince them. I was just getting to, and it was just like, phone down. I didn't care about that stuff. It was the old lady who entertained me.
Oh, no.
And talked about it. I was like, oh, Philip, do we need a conservatory? Oh, no. What sort of, you know, and I was just like, no, I don't think you need a conservatory. And I put the phone, because she didn't, I put the phone down and I was like, I'm never coming back here. And I never showed up again. So I did it for like a grand total of 5 hours. It was the most depressing thing I've ever done. Man. I have an enormous sympathy for call centre people. It's not their fault.
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
I worked in telesales for a little bit after I got out of university. It was my first, quote unquote proper job. Because I had done paper rounds since I was about 12 years old, and then I worked
to 21.
Not far off, to be honest.
The mailman. Because, you're the mailman.
No, CSA, mate. Because I did shelf stacking then from when I was 16. Then I went to university where I worked still in retail, and then I came out of university and I went back into retail. I worked at the Entertainer, a toy shop, which was a bit of an ideal job for me, really. I bloody loved it. And then I went into this quote-unquote proper job where I had to wear a tie and a shirt, and I had to sold out to the man. And it was depressing, and I hated every single second of it. It was soul-destroying working in that place. And I swore to myself that I would never go back to working in a telesales job ever again, because I did it for 14.
But you've got the headset on.
I've got the headset on, but it's not quite the same, because I'm not sat there with like a big spreadsheet of numbers that I have to call. You have to log like what happened on that call, and it was pretty bad. And then I was there for 14 months, and then got made redundant. But so I got a nice little
payout. They break up with you.
Yeah, I got a nice little payout. But the bonus was I was already planning on leaving. I'd already gone to a job interview and had been offered the job, which has turned out to be one of the best jobs I've ever had. Obviously, this is the best job I've ever had. I said one of. And so I'd already been given that job. So I was going to leave in 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And then we got
the payment.
On the day I got told I was getting that job, we got told, you'd be made redundant in 2 weeks' time. And I was like, oh, quits in, mate.
Nice one, universe.
That really did. It really benefited me.
I've got... So are we going to sign the CSA?
I like the CSA. I'd sign him.
I'm going to sign a CSA to a developmental deal.
Oh, yes, developmental.
Because I think that the CSA to me screams faction. It sounds like faction.
So you're thinking of like the union. What was the union? It was a stable. I can't remember what it stood for. Oh, no, I can't remember what the union stands for. No, if someone's going to point out in the comments,
it's
fine.
I think, because you can have a few of the office archetypes. You can have the telesales guy. You can have, the grumpy IT guy who fixes everything. You can have the hot woman office.
Well, I was going to say the mouthpiece.
Like Jessica. They always seem to have names like that.
The mouthpiece really should be Doris, the old lady who's been there for 30 years.
That's
a
good one.
And she knows more about telesales than you know. Like, what she doesn't know, you couldn't fit on the back of a postage stamp, all that sort of stuff. And she's like the Jim Cornette of the group.
And you've got like a wild card, really, you know, in your face sales.
He's just come out of university.
Yeah. He's full of optimism.
He wears his tie a little bit looser.
So, developmental deal, Ryan.
Yeah.
So it's time for some mailbag questions, of course. All Patreons can submit questions. All you have to do is give us money, and then we will answer them. Well, we'll try to answer them, because a lot of questions come in now, because it's open to everyone. First up from Andy Armstrong. If you had to choose one top star / tag team across all brands from the modern era of WWE that would fit suitably into the Attitude Era and vice versa, who would they be?
Good question.
Triple H. Next question.
I was going to say, the Hardy Boys.
Goldberg.
I was just going with tag teams. That was where my mind instantly went to, of a tag team from the modern era that would work really well in
the
Attitude Era.
The Usos, surely.
Yeah, the Usos. Well, I was thinking the Revival would be a good, because they'd be a great heel tag team, because you've got like the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys trying to do all their hardcore stuff, but the Revival just want to do straight tag team wrestling.
I feel like... I feel like the revival are very much a today, even though the whole gimmick is throwback, I feel like they're very much in the work rate era of WWE and NXT.
Mm.
But that's not to say that the Usos aren't similarly, you know, really great wrestlers. Look at the New Day feud. But I think they would translate better to the larger than life
ladder matches.
Ladder
matches.
Ladder matches is pretty much what I'm saying.
I just want to see them do ladder matches.
Yes, over and over.
Yeah, I think that's a very good shout. Also, I think DeBar would do quite
DeBar.
Well. Yeah, DeBar would do quite well as well. Lendl Brenson from Patreon says, what's your favourite Marvel Cinematic Universe movie so far? This is one where you and I differ on.
Well, there are many very good MCU movies. We're huge fans of Marvel. But for me, I don't know how anyone with a heart cannot choose Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, because it is just sublime. And I think anyone who says otherwise is being contrarian.
You've said this before, but anyone who says the opposite of that is just factually wrong.
Mm.
It's just like there are certain things you're like, yeah, I mean, we all have a difference of opinion.
But this is actually the right one.
This is actually the right one. Although it's not my favourite in the MCU, because my favourite is the Winter Soldier. Cap America the Winter Soldier, I think, is
so
absolutely
baggy.
It's not a baggy movie.
It's a baggy movie.
It's a wonderfully crafted movie. I absolutely love the Winter Soldier. And then I think it's probably closely followed by Civil War, I think.
Well, Guardians isn't even number
two. No, I think it's probably number three. But Civil War is just like, it's a comic book on screen. Mm-hmm. Like that middle section in the airport.
Splash page.
As we used to say in the IKEA car park.
Yeah.
It just looks like, it's a splash page, absolutely. And it just feels the most comic book of any comic book movie ever made. So yeah.
That's
so
my number two, Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although we rewatched the first Avengers movie.
You did, recently.
I did kind of forget how bloody magnificent it is, because all of phase one I kind of put in my head as early days,
yeah,
still finding their feet.
It's the starting blocks.
But you go back and you watch Avengers and you're like, holy moly,
man, you go back and watch the first Avenger. Like, that movie really holds up. It's
no,
really
it
great. Yes, it does.
It's solid.
The Star Spangled Banger. It is a banger, mate. Star Spangled Banner. That section is brilliant. Oh, man, I love the first Avenger, and I really rate the first Thor movie.
Has some really great character moments. The first Captain America movie, but overall, it's rather generic, I'd say. It's a bridging movie between the Tim Story era of comic book movies in the mid-noughties, like Fantastic Four, and then what we've got now.
I don't know, it feels quite 90s to me, Captain America the First Avenger. But I think that's, you know, Joe Johnson, mate.
We could talk about this for a lot longer. So Cameron has asked, which match? This is a good question. Which match was better? Omega versus Jericho, of course organised by a new best bud, Don Callis, or Gargano versus Almas from NXT TakeOver? Very closely, like, those happen within a few weeks of each other.
Both five-star matches, as reported by Dave Meltzer.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, I think...
I'm quite clear with my one.
Yeah? I think I'm going to go Omega Jericho.
Because I'm Gargano Almas.
And the reason why I am... I would go Gargano Almas, but the reason I am Omega Jericho is because I knew that Almas... Oh, sorry, that Almas was winning.
Mm.
Like, and it wasn't because I had it spoiled for me or anything. I was just... I didn't think it was the right time for Johnny Gargano to win the championship. So I kind of... It made it harder... I think we talked about this in the review at the time, but it made me harder for me to buy into the near falls. Whereas with Omega Jericho, I really didn't know which way it was going to go. I genuinely thought that Jericho might win the belt. So I think I was more into the near falls into that match. So I think on that basis, I'm going to go Omega Jericho, but the drama and everything else, like that moment when Candice LeRae jumps the guardrail and attacks Lena, like that's probably one of my favorite moments of the year so far in terms of wrestling. So it's very even, but I think just on the basis of I wasn't sure who was going to win, I might have to go Omega Jericho.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I, you know, when I was watching the match, I was like into the near falls, but I always deep down knew that Almas was going to win. It would have been a big shocker if Gargano won. But I didn't mind that, because you can have predictable movies.
You certainly
but
can.
Love everything that happens within it.
Absolutely.
And all that story that they told, I just thought was masterful. Plus, as much as I did, and I loved Omega versus Jericho too, there were bits that I didn't like in it. And I loved everything in Gargano versus Almas.
Yeah, fair enough.
So there were a few, you know, like it just felt a bit sloppy at times, the cold spray stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, if I was being super critical, I could you know, knock a few points off Jericho Omega, but I couldn't do that to Gargano Almas.
Fair enough.
Great match. Both great matches, though. Yours?
It is. Ben Sawyer writes, will Johnny Gargano, speaking of, will Johnny Gargano have an NXT championship run before getting called up to the main roster? Well, one of the words is that he's going to be called up following WrestleMania. So I don't know if Gargano does have the NXT championship in his future at this present moment in time.
I think he's got to. And because as soon as he gets to the main roster, that's it, right? He's done.
Yeah, he's going to get to 205
Live. He's never going to have anything again. So give the poor guy an NXT title run.
Yeah.
Dylan Kapiski writes, if Daniel Bryan returns to the ring in WWE this year, would you put him in a world title feud? If so, would you have him win? For me, I'd put him in the title picture, but whether he wins or not would be a matter of circumstance. For example, if he comes back for WrestleMania, either with or against Shane, I would imagine, and Styles retains over Nakamura, this is making me a little bit funny in the knees.
Bit tingly.
I would put Bryan versus Styles at SummerSlam, with Bryan going over. However, if Nakamura went over Styles at WrestleMania, I would still put Bryan in the SummerSlam match, obviously this time against Nakamura, but not give him the belt, as Nakamura could use a definitive defense over a big name like Bryan. Thanks, guys. DK. I mean, yeah.
You sold me, mate. Yeah, sold me, Dylan.
I don't know what we can add to that.
No, absolutely. I think if Daniel Bryan did return to the ring, I think I would put him in a title picture, but I think it only really works. I mean, it's not like only works, but I think it would work better if it was going against a heel.
Mm.
Because then you have got like that real underdog Daniel Bryan story that you can retell again, his triumphant return to the ring, but with this big evil mean. It's like almost like a Randy Orton, want it to be like an evil dick Randy Orton. Basically, you want to do what they did in 2014? Before WrestleMania 30? It would make sense if it was 2014.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of how I think I would go with it.
It's just when you get into that question and all the mouth-watering matches Bryan could have. Kurt Angle's in the same company now. They could just have a really good mat-based wrestling thing. Chad Gable!
Come on now.
Shush.
It's your turn.
It's your turn.
Oh, it is my turn. Richard James Stevens writes, due to the repetitive tag matches on Raw and SmackDown, should the tag titles be unified to allow for more varied matchups? Particularly, I suppose, I mean, he sent this before the announcement, I think, with the dual-branded pay-per-views returning at Backlash. Should we just have one set of tag champs?
One set of tag champs. One set of trios champs or six-man tag belts.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that I could probably go for that.
Josh Clifton, what are your ideal feuds for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT post-WrestleMania? I would go with Rollins versus Reigns, Balor versus Matt or Jeff for the IC title, Nakamura versus Zayn. For NXT, I would go with Black versus Dream or Cole, Street Profits versus War Machine if Fish is injured. Don't know what I would do with the women. Becky versus Asuka.
Yeah, it's interesting with the SmackDown side of things, particularly with the women's division, what you do once Asuka wins the belt at WrestleMania, the feud you can do from then. Because I'd really like to see Becky do something this year because we talked about it before, 14 months now without a storyline. I think it's about time that she actually had a story that she can sink her teeth into and build some character around. So I'd like to see Becky versus Asuka. I think that would be a lot of fun. Rollins versus Reigns, I think, pretty much writes itself at this point.
I'm more interested to see post night after WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is doing his, you know, whatever. If he hasn't turned heel, Samoa Joe comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I think
that'd be good.
Joe Reigns feud would be good. And,
yeah, that'd be cool.
And then you can, because I feel like Rollins and Reigns needs a bit more time after Mania, because you know their feud's been ignored since Rumble and the Chamber.
Yeah, and Nakamura versus Zayn's an interesting one as well, because if Nakamura is winning at WrestleMania, and if rumors are to be true, AJ is being moved to Raw, then who are the top heels for Nakamura to go up against? And I suppose that would be like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and the like. So Nakamura versus Zayn, especially playing off their NXT, you know, Nakamura's debut in WWE at NXT TakeOver.
His best match in WWE.
Probably, yeah. So, I think I could see if we go for that. And with NXT, like, I'm pretty sure I'd probably put money on that Adam Cole versus Aleister Black is going to be the main event of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 4, is it? Yeah, whichever one.
Yeah, I think it is.
Takeover Brooklyn. I think it's going to be Cole versus Aleister Black.
You know what? I'm thinking, I know he's not around immediately after WrestleMania, but maybe you could get him. You probably will come back for something for SummerSlam. a John Cena Nakamura title defense, main event of SummerSlam.
Going for his 17th world title.
Yeah, but Nakamura wins. Mm-hmm. I think that would be, and really hold off that Cena 17th title for ages.
Yeah.
And it gives Nakamura so much credibility to win that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I think that'd be quite cool. Do you want to do one more?
Finally,
Rob Ponton. Will All In change the face of professional wrestling if it's successful?
So, of course, All In is the Bullet Club pay-per-view.
Yes, it is.
Or pay-per-view. It's a wrestling show. They're trying to get 10,000 people to come, which is just hasn't been done in 2 decades, yeah, really.
Just ask Sasha Gray. Well, you said get 10,000 people to come. I was making a lewd joke.
Right.
And then I nearly said Sasha Banks. I was like, well, that's steady on. But
that's a bit of an outdated pornographic reference.
Well, that's because it's the first one that came to my head.
Yeah,
I don't
know
why.
Usually you're all over Riley Reid.
That's where I was.
As are several of them.
That's where my mind was trying to get to, but I couldn't get there.
I would say it's going to be an interesting one. I almost feel like, you know, because it's almost like this indie wrestling thing is building towards All In, and you can go two ways. It can then continue to increase, or that's the
pop of the bubble.
That's the pop of the bubble, and actually that's the pinnacle. And it starts to just like slowly taper off after that. It'll be interesting if they can even do it.
Yeah.
If someone like a Punk comes back for it, or a Bryan, then yes, I think that it will actually shift the face of everything. But
only if it's a one shot deal, then it doesn't really change anything because Ring of Honor will still be doing their same amount of numbers that they're doing, and New Japan will do the same sort of numbers they're doing. Like the 10,000 will come from the fact that we've got CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan in the main event, or you know, like that. So that's you pull in. But if that's a one match only thing, your 10,000 aren't going to come back for the next show in theory. So
yeah,
it's going to be really interesting. I mean, regardless, it's funny we always talk about this, like, you know, 10,000 and that means it's successful. This show is going to be successful regardless, because the amount of money that they are going to make just off merchandise is going to be absolutely off the chain. They're going to make
It's
going to be off the chain. They're going to make so much money off this. It's going to be a runaway success, no matter who is on the card, really. So I'm really excited to see what they pull out from it.
I'm not a big believer in moments changing history. I think, you know, really, it's not that simple. It's more complex, and you've got loads of things happening backstage.
So it's the opposite of WWE.
Yeah, it's actually slowly coalesces and things over time. I think, you know, the stuff that's changed the face of pro wrestling next year has already started to happen at the end of last year. The rise of New Japan and Ring of Honor. The Wrestling Observer Awards came out this week, and New Japan just dominated it all. And, you know, is that where it's gone over the hill?
They did everything at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, what's he called? The guy who owns Access. Mark Cuban. He's got a lot of money to invest in stuff like this. So maybe that would change the face of pro wrestling. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say no. It won't change the face of pro wrestling, but that is not taking anything away from the accomplishment of what they're doing, because it's incredible. It's just to change the face of pro wrestling is like you'd have to have a Ted Turner style figure to come back in to make something that seismic in one moment.
Yeah, someone who was just going in to essentially sink hundreds of millions of dollars into a wrestling promotion with a guaranteed primetime TV slot where you could essentially just do what Nitro did. I think that's the only way you could really change the face of professional wrestling like that.
Yeah, or maybe football. Maybe you could do that with football.
What, with the XFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, that like that's going to change the face. Really did like it. You don't hear this bit on the podcast version. But I suggested that phase two of WrestleTalk was when I joined. Like, you were the Iron Man, and then I came together as, like, the Avengers, and now we've got more people coming in to be, like, you know, your Scarlet Witch and your Vision and your War Machines and all that sort of gubbins.
Your Black Panthers.
Well, that's more phase three.
Yeah.
But you suggested that I was part of phase one. That really touched me a little bit.
You're going to get soppy on the podcast.
I felt me be a little bit sentimental. I mean, like, that was quite nice, really.
Well, it's just those days where I was just plugging away, there's only so much warmth you can bring to the channel. And I feel like WrestleTalk really became a community when we started doing Wrestle Ramble.
Hmm.
So I'd like to think as, well, maybe all the stuff that I did was prologue. That's all the, that's Kevin Feige failing around Hollywood.
Like when doing Spider-Man and X-Men and all
those films. Yeah. And then he was like, huh, now we're going to kick off the MCU. And that's when you came on board.
That's where I came in. You're like the prologue of Big Apple Takedown, which is just Vince McMahon complaining about the snow.
Well, the Avengers.
And then having lunch with Triple H.
The Avengers is what happened yesterday. When we debut the everyone comes together.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen at phase two. I've not planned this out like Kevin Feige in a 10-year plan.
No. Smart man is old Kevin Feige.
Let's do some iTunes reviews before Luke starts to chitter-chatter because we got to get out of here.
I was going to say, I was about to give you a little anecdote there.
I felt like your sharp intake of breath to tell a story.
It was story time, but let's not get into that now.
Depressed Vivo... What?
Well, Depressed Vivo here has given us a 4-star review, but then has written 8 out of 5 star. So
what?
Yeah, I don't know. It's genuinely a 4-star review, though. There is very much an empty star there.
Maybe they just accidentally clicked 4 stars. Maybe it's because if you double 5, you'll then double 4, which makes 8.
But even then, that'd be 8 out of 10.
Well, anyway, Depressed Vivo writes, "This podcast is the best podcast I hear to, and make me feel safe and not get scared when I go to sleep when hearing two men talk about wrestling."
Well, thank you very much, Depressed Vivo. I mean, I don't think you get a cheap pop because 4-star review. Yeah.
What a weird one. Okay, Steve O'Mac, the reason for my return. 5 stars. Oddie and Luke brought me back to WWE. After 15 years away, their enthusiasm and commentary encouraged me to return to my roots. Their views and banter are always well presented, fun, and very entertaining. For my money, the best podcast out there.
Not correct.
Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Steve O'Mac. So 15 years, 2003.
Wow.
Yeah,
I always get confused. Like, it's so flattering that people say we get them back into wrestling. But, like, how do they find us?
YouTube.
That's what I'm confused about. But surely you would get into WWE and all their content first, and then you would be... Because, like, why would you listen to us at all if you didn't have... if you weren't watching WWE?
An interesting point.
I don't know. If you do write a review or send in a mail like that, tell us your journey.
Oh, I'd love this. Yes.
How you actually got back into
how
wrestling.
How you got back into wrestling.
And maybe we can come up with a guide for other lapsed fans. Step one.
That we can then give to WWE. Yeah, this is what you need to do, apparently.
Yeah, turn Roman Reigns heel seems to be number one on the list here. So that's all we've got time for today. We will be back on Monday with plenty more fun. See you later.
Love you, bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.